Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling a bit shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. You can remember that, right? Eyes, that's what we're talking about, @hawaiianeye.com. We can answer those questions over the air. Look us up on the web while you're online. www.hawaiianeye.com is our informative and attractive website. You can also follow me on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. That's D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. And you can find us tweeting about some of the interesting news stories of the week. We are also on Facebook. Look for Hawaiian Eye Center on Facebook. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD. That means I'm a medical doctor who specializes in eyes. We're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, usually we start out the program by talking a little bit about some of the things that have come up in the office over the past week or so. And this past week, we saw a couple of people who had been doing some work in their home shops and were doing some grinding and got little pieces of metal in their eyes. And when a little piece of metal flies into the eye, sometimes it can embed itself in the surface of the eye called the cornea. Generally, if you go to the emergency room to have this treated, the emergency room doctor will try to kind of flick out that little piece of metal, but he doesn't really have the equipment to remove the rust ring that usually forms around the piece of metal after it goes in the eyes. Most of these pieces of metal have a ferromagnetic or an iron-related component to them, and iron rusts. It oxidizes. It combines with oxygen to cause rust. And so the salty tears in your eyes cause the iron to rust even more. And most of the time, within an hour or two of getting one of these foreign objects in the eyes, there is a rust ring associated with the foreign object that is discoloring the surface of the eye called the cornea. Now, the cornea is clear. It's a clear window that lets light into your eye. And so a foreign object or a rust ring, which is not clear, it's reddish brown in color, is going to interfere with your vision if it's in the central part of the cornea. So that rust ring needs to be removed. Now, also, the other reason that the rust ring has to be removed is because if it stays there and there's enough rust or metal still there, it will cause irritation of the eye that's chronic, and it will prevent the surface of the eye from healing properly. So if you get a foreign body piece of metal in the eye and it stays there, then that generally needs to be removed by an eye specialist. It doesn't always have to be removed urgently. It doesn't have to be necessarily within an hour or two, but it does need to be removed within the first day or two following the injury so that it heals properly and doesn't cause or reduces the chance it's going to cause scarring. That will be a problem down the road. We'll talk a little bit more about these metal foreign bodies in a moment, but I want to go to the phones first. We've got Don standing by in Hawaii Kai. Hi, Don. Welcome to the program.
Hello, doctor. Good to talk with you. You did a cataract procedure on me a number of years ago. In fact, it was at the time you were, Dr. Corboy and you were working together, so it was quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's worked out fine. line. Now, I have a question about my son's pterygium, and I'm sure you've discussed this 100 times. How serious is it, and at what point do you decide to take it off?
Well, we may have discussed it 100 times, but it's worth discussing again because pterygium is a very common problem here in Hawaii because the sunlight tends to make pterygium worse. So for people who don't know, pterygium is a little fleshy growth on the surface of the eye. It generally occurs on the inside corner of the white of the eye, and it grows over the surface of the cornea, that clear window on the surface of the eye. So it looks like it's growing toward the pupil. A pterygium, when it's small, doesn't really need any treatment at all. I would usually recommend protecting the eyes from the UV light, meaning wearing sunglasses that block ultraviolet or UV light when you're outdoors. And I'd usually recommend keeping the eyes lubricated, putting in some moisture drops or tear drops when they get dry or irritated, because those two things can cause the pterygium to get larger. But other than that, if it's small enough that it and it's not growing and it's not causing any irritation or redness or significant concerns for the patient, then we don't usually worry too much about them. We just look at them periodically to see if they're getting bigger. If they are growing or causing significant irritation, which is a means that the eye is more uncomfortable on that side, or it seems to have a foreign body sensation, or something else is uncomfortable, then that pterygium probably should be removed. And the surgery to remove it is a painless procedure, although it is a little sore for a day or two afterwards. And the eye can look red for several weeks following the procedure, but generally once it heals, it looks much better. They can come back, and so that's one of the reasons we don't recommend removing them unless they're actually causing trouble, but they can be effectively removed and treated if they're causing problems like what I outlined. Does that sort of answer your question?
Pretty much so. From what I understand you're saying is it's not too dangerous until it gets to the cornea. Is that correct?
Yeah, if it's growing toward the pupil, toward the center of the eye, then we worry a little bit about it because it can start to interfere with the vision if it gets too close. But if it's small and peripheral, you know, just out to the side of the colored part of the eye, then probably not too much to worry about. So how old is your son who has the pterygium?
He's no youngster. He's 45.
Okay. So certainly it's reasonable for him to have an eye checkup every year or two anyway. And so certainly something that can be quickly checked at the time of an eye examination.
Yeah, I know he doesn't have insurance. Is this an expensive procedure?
Well, the procedure itself probably does have a significant cost associated with it for a few reasons. I mean, one is, as a surgical procedure, it's always a little bit more expensive than just, say, a visit to the office and so forth. Mm-hmm. The second reason is that we usually use a number of different techniques to reduce the chance that the pterygium comes back. Sometimes we use special medication, which is fairly expensive, to reduce scar tissue, which is what the pterygium essentially is. So we reduce the growth of a new one. And we'll also do what's called a graft, where we take some tissue from the from a part of the eye that's not exposed to the sun and replace the tissue that we remove where the pterygium was with a graft. And that graft is generally held on either with tissue glue is the best way to do it, or with stitches. And so the tissue glue especially has some cost associated with it. So if it's not urgent that he have it removed, certainly doesn't have to worry about it. But, you know, getting an eye checkup should be not that, you know, not that expensive, hopefully, and he'd at least know if it needs treatment or not. So, but you could probably tell if he's not having any problems or blurry vision or any other issues, then he's probably okay for now.
Good, doctor. I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha.
So pterygium is a common problem in Hawaii, as I said, and protecting your eyes from the UV light, wearing sunglasses that block UVA and UVB, is important in helping to prevent them from growing, getting bigger, or from getting a pterygium in the first place. We'll be right back after this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Totora.
All right, here we are in the next segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show, and we do have open phone lines if you want to call us. 521-8383 is the number to call. We were talking a little bit about what happens if you get a little fragment of metal in your eye from grinding or working on your car or drilling. And so what I didn't say, what I neglected to say, which is probably the most important element of what I should have said, is how you prevent this type of thing from happening in the first place. Because once you get that little piece of metal in there, it is possible it could cause scarring that could have a permanent effect on your vision. And if it hits your eye going fast enough, it could actually do more serious damage as well. Usually they just embed themselves in the surface of the eye and need to be polished out, but the rust needs to be polished out. But sometimes they could do more serious damage if they're going with any significant velocity. So what you want to do is wear safety glasses when you're doing anything with any kind of power tools, sawing or drilling or grinding. And some people find that with grinding, even if they're wearing safety glasses, sometimes a little piece of metal will find its way around their glasses and into their eye and embed itself in the surface of the eye. And so if you have a safety glass that works okay, that's good. But if you want to wear a face shield on top of that for things where there are really fragments of metal, you know, flying all over the place, that probably would give you an added level of safety. And some of my patients who have had problems just wearing safety glasses find that when they put a face shield on top of it as well, they can pretty much prevent those things from going into the eye. The other thing that sometimes happens, they tell me, is that the things get stuck in your hair. And then when you go, you know, take off your goggles or your face shield or whatever, the stuff from your hair comes down and falls into your eye, which can cause some irritation. And even sometimes it can become embedded in the surface of the eye, just like when it flies up and hits it. And so when you just want to be careful when you're done to kind of, you know, brush off your face and your hair and so forth, so there's not those little shavings of metal that are going to go into your eye and cause you trouble. All right, so thought that we'd also talk a little bit about something that we touched on briefly last week, but I have a little more detailed information about it this week. And we are in the month of October, which is the big Halloween month, and Halloween is a popular time for people to dress up and go and have a good time looking like something that they're not or like someone that they're not. And so I was at I noticed that there are still places where there are the colored contact lenses, the decorative contact lenses are being sold without a doctor's prescription. And this is actually a no-no because contact lenses are a medical product that require a doctor's prescription because they are dangerous if improperly used. And so I have an article here. It's entitled Halloween Hazard, The Hidden Dangers of Buying Decorative Contact Lenses Without a Prescription. It says it started as an impulsive buy from a souvenir shop, but 10 hours after she first put in a pair of decorative contact lenses, Laura Butler of Parkersburg, West Virginia, had quote-unquote, extreme pain in both eyes, she said. Because I had not been properly fitted by an eye professionalist, the lenses stuck to my eye like a suction cup. Doesn't sound comfortable. It says, Halloween is a popular time for people to use decorative contact lenses for the latest fad, circle lenses to enhance their costumes. However, given how easy it is to obtain these products, it's becoming increasingly popular for people to purchase these novelty lenses year-round. But few know the risks associated with these lenses. Most people believe that decorative lenses do not require the same level of care or consideration a standard contact lens does because they can be purchased over the counter or on the internet. According to Thomas Steinemann, M.D., professor of ophthalmology at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, this is far from the truth. There's no such thing as a one-size-fits-all contact lenses. Lenses that are not properly fitted may scratch the eye or cause blood vessels to grow on the cornea. In Butler's case, the lens caused an infection and left her with a corneal abrasion from removing the lenses. I was in severe pain and on medication for 4 weeks and couldn't see well enough to drive for 8 weeks, she said. I now live with a corneal scar, vision damage, and a drooping eyelid. Dr. Steinemann said permanent eye damage can result from buying contact lenses without a prescription. Many of the lenses found online or in beauty salons, novelty shops, pop-in Halloween stores, or swap meets are not FDA-approved and are being sold illegally, he said. Websites often advertise decorative contact lenses as if they were cosmetics, fashion accessories, or toys. With whimsical, playful packaging and names like Dolly Eyes, their targets are often teens and young adults. But the increasingly popular circle lenses, which are especially liked by teenage girls, are not FDA approved. Purchasing contact lenses without an eye examination and a prescription from an eye care professional such as an optician, optometrist, or ophthalmologist, medical eye doctor, can cause serious eye disorders and infections, which may lead to blindness. Even if you have perfect vision, you need to get an eye examination and a prescription from an eye professional in order to wear any kind of contact lens. Quote unquote here, all contact lenses are medical devices that require a prescription and proper fitting by an eye care professional, according to Dr. Steinemann. To protect the eyes, an eye care professional measures each eye in order to properly fit contact lenses for each patient. Additionally, the eye care professional instructs the patient on appropriate contact lens care. Lenses that are not cleaned and disinfected increase the risk of eye infections. Not all patients are good candidates for contacts, prescription, or decorative. Patients who have frequent eye infections, severe allergies, dry eyes, a very dusty work environment, or inability to handle and care for the lenses may not be suitable candidates. An eye care professional can help you make a decision that's right for your eyes. Under a 2005 federal law, distribution of all contact lenses is restricted to licensed eye care professionals. Illegal sale of contacts can result in penalties up to $11,000 per violation. So don't go and distribute contact lenses. Don't share your contact lenses with someone else. So it says here, consumers should only buy decorative lenses from an eye care professional and or seller who asks for a prescription. So just as a disclaimer, so that you know that I'm not furthering my own self-interest here, we don't actually sell contact lenses at our office, or very rarely we do. We don't fit them, and we don't make them at our office. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a professional look at your eyes prior to trying a contact lens on. Now, the idea of one size fits all in a contact lens is not like a one size fits all in a shirt, let's say. Okay, you put on a shirt, it stretches a little bit, one size fits all, but it's not going to fit everyone. So even a one size fits all shirt is not going to fit someone who's 400 pounds, right? So the one-size-fits-all contact lens is not going to fit everyone either, but you don't know if it's going to fit you or not unless you have measurements done of your eyes, and there's no way of doing these measurements yourself without sophisticated equipment and someone who knows how to use it. So the key to safe use of contact lenses is, number one, making sure that the lenses actually fit your eyes okay so they don't cause problems that way. And number two, to make sure that you clean them and disinfect them properly so that they don't increase the risk of infections. Even with perfect use of contact lenses, people sometimes get serious infections that can actually threaten their vision. People do sometimes get other types of problems even with perfect care of their contact lenses, but it's extremely unusual. It's most common when we see people come in with serious eye infections due to contact lenses. It's most commonly because they are not taking good care of them. And so that's sort of the issue as far as contact lenses go, is to make sure that they do fit your eyes properly and that you take proper care of them. So just for those of you who do wear contact lenses, just a few quick reminders. First thing is, whenever you handle your contact lenses, make sure to wash your hands first. Washing your hands is the single most important thing you can do to help prevent the spread of infection. Now, if you're using an alcohol hand wash, be very careful, because alcohol, if it gets in your eye, can be quite toxic and irritating to the surface of the eye, and you can give yourself a corneal abrasion, which is very painful, for several hours or a day or more even, by getting alcohol in the eye. So if you use an alcohol scrub or alcohol wash prior to touching your eyes, make sure your hands are fully dry. Or touching the contact lenses, because you don't want to get alcohol on the contact lens and then put it in your eye and then have it sit in contact with your eye. That's not a good thing. That's definitely going to make you very uncomfortable and very unhappy for a period of time. So what you want to do is clean your hands first, wash your hands first, if you can. Make sure that when you handle the contact lenses, also you've washed your hands beforehand. When you take the contact lenses out of the solution and go to put it in your eyes, make sure that they've been through the proper disinfection cycle. And most disinfectants nowadays just require the lenses to be sitting in them for some period of time, usually 4 hours or 6 hours. So you want to read the label on the bottle to make sure that you're leaving the lenses in the disinfection solution for an adequate period of time. And then when you remove them, many of these solutions don't require additional rinsing or anything. You used to have three or four different solutions you used. You had a disinfecting solution, then you had a saline solution, then you had a re-wetting solution, you had a cleaning solution, a rubbing solution. Most of that has been eliminated with the way contact lenses are now prescribed, disposable lenses and one single solutions that do everything. And so it makes it a little bit easier, but you want to just make sure that you're using the solutions correctly and getting the adequate disinfection. Make sure that you're not keeping the lenses just in a saline solution, which doesn't disinfect the lenses. It may keep them moist and keep them in good shape so that they don't dry out, but it won't disinfect the lenses and get rid of the bacteria and viruses and other things that may lead to infections and other problems if you go ahead and use the lenses without having them properly disinfected. Okay, so infections in the eyes come in several forms. The types that come from contact lenses are commonly what we call corneal ulcers. Ulcers are little abscesses in the eye. Usually it looks like a little whitish spot on the eye. It's very painful. The eye is red, and this is very commonly associated with a contact lens and usually affects one eye, not both eyes, but it can also theoretically affect both eyes. Conjunctivitis or pink eye is another type of infection that we commonly see in the eyes. The eyes are often diffusely red. There can be a discharge or sticky material that comes out of the eyes. The eyes may feel glued shut in the morning when you wake up. You may not be able to open your eyes because there's this sticky, crusty stuff holding them closed. When you have that one morning and your eyes are red and irritated, you may very well have a conjunctivitis or a bacterial infection on the surface of the eye that could possibly benefit from the use of antibiotic eye drops. Many times these types of infections are caused by viruses. Viruses tend not to have that sticky discharge. When they tend to have a more watery discharge, which is like tears coming out of your eyes, and when an infection with a virus occurs, that generally leads to irritation of the eyes. It lasts a couple of weeks, probably 2 to 3 weeks usually, before it gets better, but it does generally get better on its own. Typical of a viral infection is that it starts in one eye becomes red, weepy, irritated, and then a day or two later, the other eye goes through the same process, and then both eyes end up being red, weepy, and irritated. Sometimes it can be a severe infection, and it does require treatment by an eye specialist. So if you have a red eye that's lasting more than a day or two, and irritation or other changes that go along with it, probably a good idea to see an eye specialist to make sure that everything's okay. All right, we're going to take a short break so we can listen to the news. And when we come back, we'll do some more eye news and, of course, take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 79 degrees with a few clouds in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. The International Monetary Fund is going to draw up a list of new tools that could be used to stop struggling countries from falling into a full-blown financial crisis. The head of the IMF says the step is being taken at the request of finance chiefs from world's leading economies who are meeting in Paris. Some Eurozone countries are looking for the IMF to play a bigger role in keeping debt troubles from engulfing Italy and Spain. The Occupy Wall Street demonstrations have inspired several similar protests in Europe, Asia, and Australia today. In Europe, they're calling themselves the Indignant as they march against corporate greed, government cost-cutting, and failed financial policies. Things turned into a riot in Rome, where some demonstrators began setting fires to vehicles and smashing windows. Police responded with tear gas and water cannons. The group Occupy Honolulu General Assembly will be meeting this morning at 11 at Ala Moana and Atkinson Boulevards to demonstrate in support of Global Day of Action. Members will march peacefully through Waikiki down Kalaakaua Avenue to the intersection with Kapahulu Avenue and then hold a debrief and informational session at 3 p.m. near the Gandhi statue at the Honolulu Zoo. A 26-year-old Waikiki man was charged Thursday with injecting a 14-year-old girl with drugs, causing her to overdose and be hospitalized. Matthew Scott Kratz appeared in court yesterday and was taken to the Oahu Community Correctional Center, where he remained unable to post $200,000 bail. A 77-year-old woman is recovering in a hospital after she fought off an attacker who tried to take her purse on a sidewalk in McCully on Thursday. High surf advisory for east-facing shores today. Sunny afternoon, high in the mid-80s. Tonight, mostly clear. Low near 72. Tomorrow, sunny. Currently, 79.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the Neighbor Islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Life was sharp and clear. Can you see me now? Hawaiian Eyes.
Ah, yes, Hawaiian Eyes. And here we are on the Hawaiian Eye Show, so that if you have a question for us, you can give us a call. The phone number here is 521-8383. If you're listening to us on your iHeartRadio app and you're not in Hawaii, you want to call us toll-free. Or if you're on one of the neighbor islands, we do have a toll-free number available. So the number, write it down, 888-565-8383. That's 888-565-8383. And we're certainly happy to take your calls. In the meantime, we're going to talk a little bit about some of what's in the news in the past week. I see an article here about aspirin use and macular degeneration. So I'm going to read a little bit of that article. But I will also point out to those of you who are interested that many of the articles that we discuss here on the Hawaiian Eye Show, we also have links to these articles on both our Twitter feed and on our Facebook page. So if you're interested in getting more information or reading the article yourself, you can go ahead and look for Hawaiian Eye Center on Facebook.com. Or go to Twitter.com and look for Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, and you can get some information about eyes that way. So let's see, frequent aspirin use tied to aging macular disorder. It says here, frequent use of aspirin is associated with early aging macular disorder called age-related macular degeneration, as well as wet late macular degeneration. And risks for those problems appear to be linked to how often aspirin is consumed. These findings are from a study of nearly 4,700 European patients aged 65 and older that was published online last month. Associations between aspirin use and macular degeneration have been addressed in various settings with inconsistent results, according to doctors from the Netherlands Institute for Neuroscience and Academic Medical Center in Amsterdam. To find out more about the possible connection, the doctors conducted a cross-sectional population-based study using structured interviews to assess aspirin use and macular degeneration in 4,679 people who lived in seven European countries: Norway, Estonia, United Kingdom, France, Italy, Greece, and Spain. In addition to being queried about their aspirin use, the participants were also asked about their socio-demographic status, educational level, current and past smoking history, and consumption of alcohol. Other questions focused on their medical history, including history of stroke or myocardial infarction, whether they had been diagnosed with either angina or diabetes mellitus. Aspirin use was gauged using a pre-coded response category of seven options that range from never to daily. Cholesterol levels were also determined using fasting blood samples. Digitized fundus examinations were then obtained from participants and the images sent to a grading center and evaluated by two experienced staffers. The images were graded according to the International Classification and Grading System for Macular Degeneration. The researchers defined dry macular degeneration. They talks about how they defined it and how they defined wet macular degeneration, so we won't go into those details. But they reported that 36% of the participants had evidence of early macular degeneration and 3% had evidence of late macular degeneration. About 41% of participants reported monthly aspirin use, 7% used once weekly, and 17% daily use. And that's probably because it was prescribed to help prevent the likelihood of stroke and other problems. So it says for daily aspirin users, the odds ratios adjusted for potential confounders showed a steady increase with increasing severity of macular degeneration grades, according to the researchers. When adjustment was made for all known confounders, including cardiovascular disease, the associations did not change. However, there may be other confounders that were not measured. Okay, so they basically found that the more frequently aspirin was used, the higher risk for macular degeneration. And so that doesn't mean, does that mean if you're taking aspirin now for your potential heart problem or to prevent a stroke, you should stop taking aspirin? And the answer is no, you shouldn't stop if your doctor recommended the aspirin, but you may want to talk to your doctor about the potential benefits versus the potential risks of any treatment that you're doing, whether it's something as simple as an aspirin a day or something as complicated as controlling your diabetes with multiple medications. You want to make sure that the risks that you're taking by taking medication or doing other types of treatments are outweighed by the benefits you're likely to receive as a result of the treatments. And so we're looking constantly at the risk-to-benefit ratio of any treatment that we try. So for someone who is at high risk for cardiovascular disease or stroke, aspirin is probably a great idea. For someone who has really no risk factors, who just says, gee, you know, I really don't want to get a stroke, I'm not really at risk to get one, but I want to make sure I don't, so let me take an aspirin every day. For those people, maybe not so much as maybe it's not such a good idea, because the aspirin may have other side effects, as we see as a result of this study here today. And apparently there's something that the aspirin does with the blood thinning that actually makes it easier for the abnormal blood vessels related to macular degeneration to form, clearly, because the aspirin use seems to clearly be tied to this. And so there's something that you're doing when you're using the aspirin that raises your risk. Now, is it a big increase in risk? Well, they did find a statistically significant number of association between aspirin use and macular degeneration. But the number of people who have macular degeneration in its severe forms are fairly small. In the study, of the people who were studied, about 4,700 people over age 65, so in the prime category for macular degeneration, about 3% of them had the advanced form of macular degeneration. So this is a relatively small number, 3 out of 100. And so if the chances increase a little bit, so it becomes 3.5 out of 100 or 4 out of 100 or something like that, is that enough to make you not want to use an aspirin supplement? And so this is a decision that you and your doctor need to embark upon together to make sure that you're coming up with the right type of information that helps you most. All right, we do have open phone lines here on the Hawaiian Eye Show. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora, that's me. I'm an ophthalmologist. I'm an IMD. That means I'm a medical doctor who specializes in the eyes. A lot of people ask me, well, how long did you have to go to school to become an eye specialist? And I say, well, for me, becoming an eye surgeon, becoming a medical doctor who specializes in the eyes, I had to go through college, and then I had to go through medical school because I had to get my medical degree to be a medical doctor, get an understanding of the whole body, how it works, and get experience to seeing patients in different elements of medical care. So I spent 4 years in college after high school, spent 4 years in college, and then 4 years in medical school. And then once I finished medical school, I had to take my subspecialty training in ophthalmology so I could become an eye specialist. And so that training took another 3 years. Sometimes it's now 4 years, depending on the program. And prior to doing ophthalmology, I had to do a year of general medicine. So I had to spend a year in a general care hospital working as an intern, what they call an intern, which is sort of the lowest level of doctor in the hospital, the doctors in training. In the early stages, learning about all aspects of medical care. So my internship was in internal medicine in New York City, and then I did an ophthalmology residency, which is 3 more years of eye-specific training, where we learned for 2 years about taking care of people's eyes in the clinical setting, and for a year, year and a half, about doing surgical procedures related to the eyes. And based on that, then I got a certification that allowed me to be considered a board certified ophthalmologist. So what is that? 4 years of college, 4 years of med school, 4 years of after postgraduate training. And then I did 1 more year after that of fellowship called subspecialty fellowship. So within the field of ophthalmology, I then studied glaucoma for a year. I spent a year on a glaucoma service taking care of primarily people who had advanced forms of glaucoma and seeing people both on an outpatient and an inpatient basis who had serious eye problems, participating in surgeries and so forth. And so then that after that, I had a subspecialty training in glaucoma as well as a certification, being board certified in ophthalmology. So how many years altogether? 4 years of med school, 4 years of training, 1 year of fellowship. So I think I was about 30 when I was finally ready to go out and start practicing. So it is a bit of training. There are other levels of specialty within the eyes themselves, we have optometrists and opticians, and a lot of people get confused because the names kind of sound similar, optometrist, optician, and ophthalmologist. The optician is sort of the lowest level of eye provider in terms of the amount of training that they've had and the degree of things that they can treat. The optician primarily is charged with dealing with eyeglasses, and opticians can fit eyeglasses, and in some states they can prescribe eyeglasses, but I don't think they can in the state of Hawaii. And the opticians basically are aware of medical problems related to the eyes, but generally not well versed in them. Optometrists, the sort of the next level of training, optometrists are have their own degree program where they get an OD degree or an optometry degree. An optometry degree has changed a little bit over the past 10 or 15 years in terms of what an optometrist is trained to do, but primarily they focus on the eyes with a small amount of exposure to health issues related to elsewhere in the body, but primarily focusing on the eyes throughout their training. They typically don't do a residency, which is a patient contact related training program, although increasingly optometrists are doing clinical residencies and clinical fellowships in order to expand their abilities and their degrees of training. An ophthalmologist, like me, is a medical doctor, so I've gone through medical school first to focus primarily on the whole body and then specialize, hone down on the care of the eyes. And so that's a little summary of the difference between an optometrist, an ophthalmologist, and an optician. An ophthalmologist typically does surgery and lasers. Optometrists only do very minor surgical procedures, although that also may be changing over the coming years as well. But typically, optometrists are not trained to do surgical procedures. All right, well, let's take a short break, and we'll be right back with more news and, of course, take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Doctor, my eye.
And welcome back to the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. We do have a few more minutes that we can take calls. So if you want to give us a call, 521-8383 is the number to call. And we're happy to try to answer your questions. And that's one of the things that we do in the office every week is we answer people's questions. You know, people come in who are quite concerned about things that are going on related to their eyes, to their health, and other issues. And we try to get to the bottom of some kind of understanding of why they're having a problem. And then we go ahead and we explain to them as much as we can what is going on. And we try to talk about some things that might help the problem. And one of the problems that we commonly face in the care of the eyes is a condition known as glaucoma. And I have some articles about glaucoma. But before we do that, I want to talk to a few callers, okay? We've got Frank standing by in Ala Moana. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the program. Frank, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I'm having a little trouble hearing you. I had two questions, if you have. But the first one is regarding cataract surgery. After the cataract surgery, sometimes, you know, the posterior capsule has to be removed because it gets cloudy.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And can that grow back a second time, a couple of years later, or is it usually pretty well gone once it's gone?
Well, that's a good question. You know, when we remove the cataract, we put in a lens implant, and that lens implant sits in a kind of a bag that's left from the natural capsule of the lens itself that was removed. The cataract's removed. We leave that capsule in place, and that supports the lens implant. Sometimes over time, that capsule becomes cloudy or opacified, and we open it with a laser to sharpen the focus. And when that's done, it generally improves the vision. Now, I have seen once in a while, it's not very common, but I have seen once in a while that fibrosis or some scar tissue will grow back over the surface of the lens, and that can make the opening that we made smaller, which can affect the vision, or it can actually blur the vision again. Now, it's fairly uncommon. You know, maybe one in 400 or 500 people who have had the procedure done, but it does occur from time to time. So if you think that that may be affecting your vision, you definitely should get your eyes checked, because if it's not that, it could be something else like macular degeneration or something else you need to be aware of. So definitely worth getting it looked at.
Yeah, I was actually calling for a relative who's in her mid-90s, and that's what seems to be. And also, I've heard them say that sometimes when they look down a corridor with light tile, now this is after cataract surgery in both eyes, but a few years later, they see like worms moving constantly in the floor in their vision when they look. I've never quite heard something like that, but you know, they say it's not normal floaters, you know, the small floaters. But I don't know whether that's indicative of anything or just needs an exam maybe.
Yeah, I don't really know what that means. I mean, the first thing I think of would be floaters, which can take a lot of different forms. I mean, they may not only be spots or webs or, you know, lines. It could be something else, which is inside the eye, a little bit of debris or something that's casting a shadow in the back of the eye. And that's what causes floaters, is a little material inside the eye that you're seeing the shadow of that on your retina. And so I don't know what it is specifically, but we'd probably have to get more information about specifically the symptoms they're having and look at their eyes.
Yeah, so probably an exam is the simplest solution. Okay, do get her into your office. Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, appreciate your call.
Okay, bye.
All right, well, let's go to the phones. We've got Rosa Maria standing by in La Ie. Hi, Rosa, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. I just would like to know about your thoughts about contact lenses for my son is 17 years old, and if I can bring him to your office.
Okay, contact lenses are usually okay for children over about 13 or 14 if they show the proper ability to take care of them. So basically they need to be responsible and they need to be willing to pay attention to the contact lenses, clean them and disinfect them properly, take them out at night before they go to bed, not sleep in them, that type of thing, because not using them correctly can be associated with problems, as you may have heard if you listened to the early part of the program today. But the most 17-year-olds are usually do, but the parents really can make that decision. And as far as getting the contact lens fitted, we don't actually fit contact lenses in our office, but we do. But there are quite a few people in either your area, Haleiwa or Wahiwa, who do. And there's all of them, as far as I know, are good. We can do a complete eye examination to make sure that his eyes are okay for contact lenses, but we wouldn't be fitting the lenses themselves.
Oh, okay. So before, probably I need to make sure that his eyes are good for contact. Oh, that's an important thing.
Okay.
And then I have a daughter who has contact lenses in another state, and she told me that the doctor gave her one that it is to be wear all the time. Have you heard about that?
There are contact lenses that are theoretically designed to be used for a couple of weeks at a time, and then you take it out and replace it. We don't generally recommend that, because having the lens in the eye for a long period of time can cause other problems or changes in the eyes. So only for people who really need that lens all the time, like a firefighter, for example, who needs to be able to jump out of bed and be ready to go and not fiddle with putting in the contact lenses. For that type of person, we might recommend that type of lens. But in general, my personal preference is not to prescribe those lenses being used that way. Now, sometimes we prescribe them and tell people to take them out every day and disinfect them, because the main problem with leaving your lenses in your eyes a period of time is that infection can develop, because the lens is a foreign object sitting in the eye and it serves as a source of an infection. And so if you take them out and disinfect them every day, it's less likely that that's going to be a problem. So I would usually recommend against that type of use of the contact lens, except under special circumstances.
Oh, okay. That is great. Well, I will make an appointment to bring my son to your office, Dr. Tortora. Thank you very much for your kindness.
All right. Aloha.
You have a good day.
You too. All right. Well, contact lenses are a popular subject today, and This is for a good reason. There are a lot of people out there who wear contact lenses. Something we haven't talked about for a little while is about people who want to reduce their need for glasses or contact lenses. What are their options? And a lot of people talk about LASIK or laser eye surgery, and the laser procedures certainly are successful in many cases in reducing the need for eyeglasses, the dependence on eyeglasses. The people who benefit from these types of procedures are people who are younger, who are under 40, and who are nearsighted. They can see up close a little bit, but far away is a blur, and usually the far away vision we can improve. As you get older, your vision changes such that you can see either distance clearly or close up clearly, with or without glasses, however you see. And then the other, whether if you see distance well, then the reading or close-up vision is not so good. If you see close-up well, then the distance vision may not be so good. And so correcting your distance vision means that your reading's not going to be as good and you need reading glasses. Correcting your reading vision means that your distance is not so good and you're going to need distance glasses. So once you get to be over 40, 45 or so, it's a little bit more difficult to give people an experience or a procedure where they'll be completely independent of eyeglasses. One exception to that is that when you have your cataract removed, having cataract surgery or cataract removal, we do have the opportunity to use a lens implant. All people who have cataracts removed get a lens implant, but the standard lens implant focuses your vision either for distance or for close up. But we can also do an implant that gives you a range of focus, generally not covered by insurance, the implant part, that can give a range of focus both distance and near as a unique opportunity at the time of cataract surgery. Well, we've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care. I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Joe and Andrea for helping out here in the studio. I'd like to say thanks to all your listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, listen again next week. If you have a question, you can always email us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com. Facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center and Twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. Just run together like DRTORTORA. So follow us on Twitter and see what we're tweeting about. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in Central Oahu and Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.